Hour number four, Bickley and Murata coming to you live from the Octane Community Studios here at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We were supposed to be on location at Salt River Fields, but the weather's dreadful, so that got shelved. But we did talk to Steven Souza Jr. earlier, and now we're joined by Diamondbacks manager, Torrey Lovello, who joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Hi, Torrey, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Listen, I thought you guys were tough Arizona guys. What's the matter with you? You should be out here right now.
No, you got the wrong show.
Well, you got 50% of the wrong show, Torrey. I could grind that out. My partner, a little bit of a snowflake.
It wasn't our call, to be completely honest.
I get it.
Last time we talked to you, you were getting ready to tee off in the Pro-Am at the Phoenix Open. So tell us how it went for you. How'd you guys do that day?
I'll tell you what, that was such a great experience for me. In fact, I just was texting my partner this morning just because it was such a great memory. So I had a great time out there. I hit some really, really good shots, and I hit some equally really, really bad shots. That's what it's all about. I think we finished like 11 or 12 under. Unfortunately, that wasn't good enough for the money, but it was a great time.
All right. And my partner's also wrong about this because you and I visited during FanFest, of which my partner was
right.
Not there. So, Vinny, get your facts
straight. That's right. It was cold that day. I had to sit it out.
That's exactly right. All right. So update us because I remember asking you that day if it was too early to kind of gauge the competitive vibe of this group and what they're all about. Collectively, has that been updated at all? How are you feeling about this team and this group?
Real good, real good. I could tell early on that these guys were focused, ready to go, and excited for a 19 season. And, you got a feel for some of the guys in the clubhouse, but then you have some new additions, some guys that are coming back off of injuries and just having a different gauge on things this year. I could tell that these guys are locked in and ready to go. We're laying some concepts down, some basic concepts going back to the foundation of some of the things that we believed in that worked in 17 and maybe got away from it or took it for granted because of the experience that we had last year. But it's back to the basics here. It's back to doing things the way we know how that work. And we're going to test that out starting on Saturday.
All right. I was a little vexed by the whole Zach Greinke thing, and maybe you were, maybe you weren't. I know that you spoke to him about the example it set. What were your thoughts on that matter? And I get that Zach Greinke is bored by it all because he's done this a million times. But at the same time, he's a stalwart of this team, and you've got to set an example. Update us on that, if you don't mind, Skip.
Well, yeah, The thing that I ask these guys to do is be as proactive as possible. If you send something that's coming down the pipe, to let me know. I don't like surprises. So he let me know that he wasn't going to be here, which, I understood. I knew he had some rules that he was still following because Major League Baseball doesn't make it mandatory to be here until the 23rd of this month. And we just had a nice open dialogue, and I got his point of view, and I shared mine. And I know that he shared with the viewers and with the public that I was maybe a little bit thrown off for a couple of reasons, one of which that I was trying to set a tone here as a leader from the dugout level that we have a lot of things we want to accomplish here, and I want him to be a part of that. And he wasn't early, and I just didn't agree with that thought. But we hammered that out, and the long and short of it from there is that Zach knows what he needs.
Yeah,
he knows what he's got to do to get ready. I trust him, and he'll be ready.
Torrey Lovello, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. We did talk to Steven Souza Jr. earlier in the show today, and he talked about last year and how frustrating it was for him and how he hopes it makes him stronger mentally and helps him physically moving forward. That being said, Torrey, how important is Steven Souza to your overall goals for 2019 to get him back to what he's capable of?
Extremely important. And, I sit down with these players and we have our one-on-one meetings, and just to know where we stand with one another and what my expectations are, if there's any questions that they have, they can throw them out there at me. And I said, basically, look, last year was maybe a throwaway year, not because you did anything wrong. You got hurt. You were playing uphill all year long. You never got your mojo. You never got into a rhythm. And that's okay. But it's about being strong of mind and body and being ready for a healthy 2019. We need him, and I explained that to him. We need him to go out there and be as good as Steven Souza could be.
and we know what he's projected to do. We have a very good feel for the type of game that he can play, but now it's up to him to go out there next year without putting too much pressure on himself, to focus on what his needs are day by day. He's going to have a terrific year, and we need that to happen to get to where we want to get to.
That being said, Torrey, I mean, his style of play, he's all out all the time. He's kind of a madman, and I mean that in the best of ways, out on the baseball field. Needing him as much as you do, is there any more of an increased message of maybe step it back a little bit, notch it down just a bit because we do need you so much, or has that happened at all?
A little bit. You know, to be honest with you, I think that was mentioned in this meeting, that it's what's most important at the end of next month to start the season in March versus what we need right now in the end of February. So he knows how important he is. He knows how important his health is to the success of his season. So yes, we're going to ask him to not do things at the amazing level that he has the ability to perform them under, to stay away from some of those moments. But it's hard to tell a professional athlete to back down when they have one gear, and that's fast forward. So we're going to ask him to be smart about it, make sure he lasts the whole season, because he is such an important piece of this puzzle.
Yeah, you lived that with A.J. Pollock. I remember that very, very vividly. All right, we haven't spoken with you since Manny Machado signed with the Padres. Perceptually, Diamondbacks fans, some at least, are, oh, well, why can't we spend money? Why can't we go and get this guy? What are your thoughts on the impact a single player can make and he will make in San Diego?
Well, you know, he's special. He's a special player, and you could see by this contract that the rest of the league and the rest of the world knows that now. I feel like, you know, there are special guys that you can set up on your club that are going to show you the right way to do things, and they've clearly brought in not only him, but last year it was Eric Hosmer to set a standard of excellence there in San Diego. So whatever guidelines they're following, they know what they are going to get. They know what they're going to try to get to. And it elevated the whole league. One player coming into this league with the dynamic skill set that Manny Machado has is going to make the National League West even better. And we love that. In Arizona, we embrace those challenges. You know, financially, we can't do certain things at certain times, and we don't really care. We love that. We love the challenge. We know what's set out in front of us. And look, we get to watch one of the best players perform for 19 games. And I'm a baseball fan sometimes, and I enjoy that. But we're gonna continue to do our thing, not focus so much on what's going on there in San Diego, but aware of some of the weapons that they have now. It's not going to change how we approach the game. It's not going to change how we prepare for the game. We're going to go out there and give it our best every single night.
Speaking with Torrey Lovello, manager of the Diamondbacks here on Bickley and Murata, one of the early headlines coming out of spring training with you guys is Yasmani Tomas getting some work at first base. And now, I mean, the landscape has changed at that position, as we know, with Paul Goldschmidt gone. How possible is that for a regular season option to get Yasmani Tomas back at the major league level at that position, Torrey?
Well, we can't predict it, but I want to take a look at it now to find out what it looks like. And he's going to get some reps over there. And, you know, sitting down with him as well, he feels like he's comfortable. The footwork, the hands, everything's working. And the drill sets that we're throwing at these guys, you can tell that he's a former infielder. And those basic fundamentals from the ground up never really leave you. So I'm sure he's going to have some moments where it's not going to look so good, but we expect that. But he's also going to get some chance in the outfield. And you're right, the landscape did change over at first base, and we're going to try and find the best combination over there. And I want to see what it looks like. I can't predict when or how things might happen, but I know that he's eager for this challenge.
All right, I want to ask you kind of an out-of-the-box question here, because some NBA coaches have complained about dealing with players who stay up all night playing video games, and NHL coaches, same thing with Fortnite. Do you have the same issues in Major League Baseball with guys who become so deeply obsessed with video games and gaming that you kind of have to remind them, dude, get some sleep?
That's a really good question. You know, yes, at times we do. And what you discover is these athletes are also human beings, and they have the same attraction to the same video games that my children do. Yep. And look, I have an 18-year-old son at home that loves the game, and we have players in our league, or maybe in the NBA, that are much older than he is. So you have to understand that it's normal. It's something that they love to do, And we have to tell them that it's time you have to manage yourself and manage your life, because you have a job, you're a professional athlete, and if you don't perform, that will end. That dream will end quicker than it's supposed to. So we talk about the process, having a routine and understanding how important it is to get rest, get up, have a meal, prepare for the day, and go out and be at your peak performance, and be able to give your peak performance at the right time of the night. And if you're spending all your time staying up at night, it can be a very, very dangerous road.
When you were a player, what was it that management or, you know, team leadership had to get on young players about? Was there anything other than just staying out and partying all night? I mean, was there anything comparable to what this message is?
Well, when I was a young player, Nintendo was just starting out, and that definitely created some excitement in the hotel rooms while on the road. And the way I looked at it was, it was better that way, keeping everybody in, than going out and drinking and staying out late, which is always obviously a concept that we have to walk through every once in a while in professional sports. But it was tough. It was a new thing, the video games, and we had to figure out a way to manage the time. We give them the full assault on getting rest and staying in and subtracting all of the bad things you can put in your body. And we outline that. We teach them from the ground up, the alcohol and staying out and not getting rest. It can be a big detriment to where you're trying to get to in your future.
All right, I'm curious with the winter we've had here in Arizona, the temps, and a lot of people love it. I'm not sure if a baseball manager trying to ready a team feels the same way. What goes into contingency planning with things that you cannot control, like the weather?
Well, yeah, right now, look, it's freezing cold out here, and I can see the wind blowing through my window, and it's as I was starting this interview, I was outside and it was taking my breath away. So that is tough, very tough. But what I tell our guys is that when we are outside in these conditions, it's okay. We are not going to put you in a bad situation from a health standpoint or a risk of injury standpoint. But let's feel this weather, because we're going to Chicago in April, and we can't order up a 60-degree weather and with sunshine and play in those conditions. Let's prepare in these conditions. When we can't, we will bring you indoors. And I have the best staff ever. These guys are still hammering away at it right now because we're anticipating some lengthy rains through the night, which are going to impact our fields. So we have plan A, which is to get on the field no matter what the situation is. And we have plan B, which is to get indoors or protect ourselves the best way we can so we don't get sick or obviously stay out and perform in the rain. Today was a perfect example of that. Yesterday we knew that there was going to be a rain, so we piled everything into a heavy lifting day yesterday. Today we went indoors, and I'm a big, big fan of zero stimulus, coaches coaching, players listening, and giving feedback. Yeah. So we spent a lot of time in a classroom setting today going over our offensive beliefs and our offensive goals and the anticipation of what our offensive output will be this year. We went to our defense and we talked about how we are going to defend, and we are going to shift, and we are going to be a ready team fundamentally, and we're going to execute situationally at all costs. And then the pitchers and catchers had something very, very similar. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be in those meetings because there's a lot of overlap time. But I will get the rundown as exactly what was covered in there. And I felt like it was a really productive day. And to be honest with you, I love these types of days, because this is when we got to lay it down and have these guys understand that we're serious teachers. We're going to go out there and have these expectations, and this is what they are.
All right, Torrey, before we let you go, I'm going to backtrack to the video game topic real quick, because I got to know, what was your most addictive video game? Do you have one back from the past?
Oh, for sure, for sure. It was Super Mario Brothers, right? I mean, who didn't have that? There was about a 7 to 10 year period of time where they were coming out with one every other year, and I caught them all. I tried to get to the end and rescue the princess. It was definitely had a lot of fun, and I definitely rescued the princess. That was my goal, and I didn't come off of it until I got there.
Oh, Jarrett's playing the sound effects and music now. We're going to give you flashbacks, I think.
Yeah, I can still hum it with you. There's no doubt about it. It's very catchy. You're right.
Torrey, thanks so much for the time. Always appreciate it.
Likewise, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Torrey Lovello, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti.
Remy Martin in traffic, fires to Cheatham. He'll fire away and hit from downtown. A clutch three for Zylan Cheatham. Only his ninth three-point goal of the year. And it gives ASU a 12-point lead, 64-52.
Tim Healy on the calls on the Sun Devil Radio Network. Zylan Cheatham didn't have a big game statistically, but that was a big shot at a crucial point for ASU. And Stanford got back to within seven at the eight-minute mark. ASU controlled things the rest of the way. They beat Stanford 80-62 last night at Wells Fargo Arena to push their record to 18-8, 9-5 in the Pac-12. And now this possibility. We went into this weekend's action saying ASU might need to sweep this weekend to really bolster their NCAA tournament hopes. They got a break with KZ Akpala not being able to play for Stanford. They do have a currently winless Pac-12 team coming in this weekend. They might have done the hard part of this weekend's task already, and that's a good sign.
No, I agree. I think it was a very sturdy performance. I liked they received above average performance from a lot of guys, man. Zylan Cheatham was strong and active and made a huge three-point shot. Rob Edwards, a great shooter in rhythm, made another huge three.
He's playing really well right
now,
by
the way. He really is. Remy Martin is such a great energy guy, and his passion and his fire. I love the kid. I looked at that team. That's the thing. When you look at college basketball, the really good teams, they give off a certain aura, and it's hard to describe. It's impossible to miss. And when ASU is good, they look like a team that could be a quarterfinal team in the NCAA tournament. I'm not gonna lie, and that's not hyperbole. But they also have the ability to not look great either, to not shoot brick shots from the free throw line.
And that's why I termed it when we had Joe Lunardi on. I termed the question and the label I used for ASU is maddeningly inconsistent. And he disagreed. He said they look like a bubble team. I'm not sure how many full games Joe Lunardi's watched of ASU this year, but I think for the fan experience, they are maddeningly inconsistent because of that very reason. Mm-hmm. When they are on their game, they can beat anybody in the country.
Anybody.
When they are not on their game, they can lose to anybody in the country.
Yeah.
That, to me, is maddening.
Now, I don't know why this has happened 2 years in a row, but this Pac-12, this conference, it seems to have marginalized ASU, and I love the fact that however Bobby Hurley did it, with the crowd baiting and all that stuff, I think he's trying to lift this team up out of this low-ceiling mentality that, hey, it's Pac-12, you're supposed to struggle against these teams. Not necessarily. I don't know if you saw, did you see any of the Washington State game last night?
I did not. They're playing good basketball all of a sudden. No, they've been terrible all year.
But there were probably maybe 800 people in the gym. And you looked at it and you said, oh, man, this conference, what has happened to this conference? It's up to ASU to get out of that mindset and just go grab this thing. And I like what I saw last night. There were times when I started to worry. The Tayshaun Cherry tripping foul, which I thought was really an immature play. He scissored a guy's leg as he was trying to get by. He wouldn't let it go. The guy fell down. It was obviously blatant. And he got a flagrant two, and he got thrown out of the game. You can't have that stuff. At that point in time, when Tayshaun Cherry got ejected, I thought, okay, is this the moment? Is this the kind of shoe-dropping moment on this team? And they didn't let it happen.
Because he had actually given them really good minutes in the first half. He had three threes in that first half.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that Stanford was missing Brian Arapco, that really hurt that basketball team. So their opponent was marginalized, but it has nothing to do with them. And I just liked the way they handled their deal in the second half last night.
The attendance, by the way, I just looked it up, that they listed for the Washington State win over Colorado.
Yeah.
19-11. That was the year you graduated high school.
Oh!
I debated on whether or not I was going to put that on the tee and hit it out myself. Let me ask you this question, Bick. After speaking with Joe Lunardi, how much better do you feel about ASU's tournament hopes? He was downright, it sounded almost bullish on ASU's tournament chances.
Again, there's a lot that can go wrong in these last four games, and I think we've learned with ASU basketball, never assume anything, right? And this even predates Bobby Hurley.
If they lose Sunday, then they're off the bubble. If they lose Sunday, they probably
No, I think if they lose Sunday, they're back on the bubble.
Cal is so bad.
I think they're well inside the bubble. And I think if they lose to Cal now after these last two wins, they deserve to be back on the bubble. But then you're dealing with three road games that you're going to have to sweep. I just think there's a lot easier way for ASU to do this, man. Just win out or give yourself one loss on these last four games, maybe one of those roadies in Oregon, and then just go into that tournament with a top four seed where a first round loss is not going to kill you perceptually. I think they're inside the bubble.
Did you say, Vince, earlier you said that under Bobby Hurley they've never won more than three in a row in conference?
In conference.
Wow. So we've given you all day to do your Bobby Hurley impression. By the way, Bobby Hurley and his mindset towards refereeing is just, it's so out of control. It is, for people who don't watch ASU basketball on television, you need to start immediately. Because Bobby Hurley, the way that he stares down officials, it's everything you have ever felt about a Pac-12 official in your life, and it comes out of his ears and his eyes and his mouth.
His whole body.
His whole body. It's just really incredible the looks of disdain he gives these guys.
I like Bobby Hurley's tactic, and he's talked about this before. When he's really giving it to the official, he puts his hands behind his back. He folds his hands behind his back.
Yes.
Because it's less aggressive.
Yes.
It's the only non-aggressive thing he does in all of it. Because there's just vitriol coming out of every pore in his body. I want to set Jared up for this. I want to play the Bobby Hurley gangster shirt soundbite.
All right.
To set Jared up. Because he actually did this in show prep, and I went, that's not bad. Jared's impressions normally suck. Let's be honest. This one wasn't bad.
No, I mean, I just want to, I had a feeling that we would deliver, you know, and this is my gangster shirt, and the guys played like gangsters out there, and they played hard, they took control of the game, they really, they battled, they fought, and so I enjoyed wearing my black shirt tonight.
I'm a gangster, that's what I am. I'm like, call me Babyface Hurley. I'm like Al Capone.
It was better in show prep.
I'm sorry. I can't be put in the spot like that.
That's good. No, that's actually... No, I think that's
not
good.
Horrible.
But I told Tayshaun Cherry, you got to control your emotions. Be like me. I'm cool, collected.
All right. While we're baiting Jarrett for stuff, I'm going to give him an opportunity to give a really hot take right now. Let's just look into the future because Arizona hosts winless Cal tonight. 5 wins overall in the season, 0-13 in the Pac-12. If Cal beats Arizona at McHale Center, should Sean Miller be fired? Go.
Yes.
Let me say this.
They've already completely embarrassed themselves this season.
That
would be an absolute low.
Yeah. Okay, I want to say this about Bobby Hurley really quick.
They're going to kill Lute Olson.
How do I top that?
Thank goodness he's going to be okay, Lute.
Okay, but at the end of the first half, if I remember correctly, it was Rob Edwards who got called on a ridiculous charging foul. And it didn't hurt anything in the grand scheme of things. Bobby Hurley is going nuts on the court. They leave, and they're running off the court, and one of his players comes up and taps Bobby Hurley, and Hurley taps him back very friendly. Like, you could see the players, they think he's a lunatic, but they love it.
Yeah.
Okay? And I thought to myself, Igor, if you're watching, if you're listening, Igor Kokoschkov and Bobby Hurley have a lot in common. They both are head coaches of prominent basketball teams in the Valley. Mm-hmm. They both had promising playing careers ended by horrible automobile accidents. One guy rides referees mercilessly. The other guy doesn't say a word to them. Somewhere in between is a happy medium.
I would agree with that.
Just saying.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Spring training is here. We're giving you the chance to win VIP tickets to an upcoming...
Wilson Pickett.
We're giving you Cody Pickett. No, VIP tickets to an upcoming Chicago Cubs game. Just head to the rewards page on arizonasports.com for complete details and your chance to win. Earlier, we asked about your brushes with fame and how you reacted to them. The response has been so overwhelming, we need to share next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question. It's on the front page of arizonasports.com, as it is every day. Who will lead the Diamondbacks in home runs this season? Your choices: Jake Lamb, David Peralta, Steven Souza Jr. Two of those guys have hit 30 home runs in a season in the major leagues. And I might be speaking out of school. David, how many did David Peralta have last year?
32, 31.
Did he have that many?
I don't know.
I'm looking it up right now. He had 30 exactly. All three of them have hit 30 home runs in a season. You're going with Peralta?
Yes.
I'll cast the vote for you. David Peralta, 51%. Jake Lamb, 19%. Steven Souza Jr., 18%. Other, 12%. Might it be Yasmani Tomas? Another guy with 30 home runs in a season. That's the Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. All right, earlier in the show, because of the presence of former President Barack Obama at the Duke North Carolina game last night, it got us to thinking. I mean, what if you showed up at that game and you were just sitting next to the President of the United States, who was a sporting, who was just a spectator at an event? So we asked the question. I shared my story of just coincidentally sitting next to Kerry Wood, then of the Chicago Cubs, in the front row of a Doodle Bops concert. By the way, the concert rocked because they did mostly their old stuff.
Yeah.
My son actually tried to run on stage.
Get up.
During that show.
How old was he?
Did he run on stage and miss a bunch of layups in succession?
He was 19? Probably 3 or 4. Oh. Different son.
Sorry, yeah, that was bad.
My 13-year-old doesn't miss layups. He's getting pretty good.
That's good.
So Jarrett put it out there on Twitter. Your brush with fame. I gotta pull up the Twitter thread here.
136 responses and counting.
Oh my goodness. And some great stories. And it's taking forever for me to pull this up. I forget. Ooh, here we go. Who is the most famous person you have ever sat near at a game, restaurant, event? Did you talk to them? Had great responses. AZ Sports, just for sports, I should say, tweeted us and said, had a beer with Steve Keim and sang karaoke together at the Stadium Club. So, yes, we talked quite a bit. Amazing dude.
I wonder what karaoke song Steve Keim
would wonder what his go-to karaoke song is?
Tim Ring, like a Blues Brothers.
I could see him like singing "Lady in Red."
Tim Ring, Valley sportscaster. I got to say this again. He encountered Jordan, and his answer was hell no. Didn't talk to him. Here's one. Sat next to and was friends with Rob Gronkowski in my freshman math class at U of A, and was in his homework group all semester. Guy is exactly the same in private as he is in public. Super goofy, funny, and friendly. Actually showed up to class every day and did his work too. Wow.
Really?
Would not have expected that. For a guy who very, very publicly, he picked U of A for the pool parties, and it was just a stop on his way to the NFL. I give him credit for that.
Here's a good one from Sun Devil Memes. Corey Feldman sat in the seat in front of me smoking weed at a Pink Floyd concert in Los Angeles.
Here's one from...
Now, just so everyone knows, these are all recollections, not reportorial of fact. Right?
Why? Are you being careful not to besmirch the reputation of Corey Feldman? Because we can't have that.
You know, right. You know how it goes.
Walter, Stan Musial in a restaurant in St. Louis. I did talk to him and got an autograph. Mas Macho had a Mike Tyson sighting at a gentleman's club.
That's what I'm talking about.
Alex met Dan Marino in Miami while he was still playing, and I was pretty trash and asked to take a picture. He said yes, but before my friend took the picture, he put his hand on mine to lower my beer and said, "Can't be pictured with that big guy." Arnold Schwarzenegger and Will Smith in the same bar in New Orleans. That's from Jay.
Holy smokes. I once walked into a hotel bar at the Newark Airport, of all places, okay? Very depressing place, staying at the Newark Airport. William Shatner was walking out.
Newark Airport is the Newark of airports.
It's well said.
Jeff Ross.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm not arguing with that at all.
Here's one from Jacob. Met Samuel L. Jackson at a gas station in the middle of nowhere, Texas. I said, "Hey, I like your movies." And he said, "Thank you." And that was that.
How about this one? I was working at an In-N-Out, and Tom Chambers came through the drive-thru. To this day, I'm kicking myself for not making the corny joke. Hey, Tom, I see you're still averaging a double-double.
Oh. At a urinal at the Harkins and Flagstaff, during the time when the Suns used to have training camp up there, and Sean Marion chose to stand by me. I did not talk. He was on his Bluetooth talking about watching Finding Nemo. Wow.
The best response we got, and I can't find it right now, but I read it earlier. The best response was simply, I made Taylor Swift guacamole.
That's unbelievable.
I want to hear more about that
story. So do I. Is that table side, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be.
You think Taylor Swift messes around with pre-made guacamole? There's no way.
I once checked into a hotel room as soon as Cameron Diaz had left the room. True story.
I have so many follow-up
questions. So do I. I'm not saying any of them.
Nope. How about this one? I met Vince Vaughn at a Cubs game in Chicago, and he bought everyone shots in the first three rows.
Sounds true to brand. See, that's one that I...
Wait. Now, you just met him where?
I met Cubs game. Vince Vaughn at a Cubs game. He's a big Chicago sports fan.
They don't sell shots at Wrigley Field? What are you talking about?
They don't?
What? They do? I've been missing out all these
years. It's not Jared's story. Don't kill the messenger, man.
Okay, maybe they do now.
Stormin' 1383
okay,
is
listen,
the guy.
Okay, listen. That. You know what? It's gotten so drunk at Wrigley in the last 5 to 8 years that, yes, I'll bet you that they actually probably do serve hard alcohol now.
How about this one? This is a great one. Bill Murray threw an apple core when he played the Phoenix Open. It hit me while I was eating a Thunder Dog. He came over and chatted with me. Awesome guy.
That's good. That's pretty good.
I almost had a Vince Vaughn experience, but I chose not to bother him.
Really?
I was waiting in line. I told this story not too long ago, too. Waiting in line at the Falco's, and he was in line waiting for food.
Wow.
And I was just like, wow, that's Vince Vaughn. I like a lot of his movies. I'm a big fan. I'm not going to bother him. But everybody that went up to him, he was more than accommodating.
Who do you know who George Lynch is?
Of course they do.
Former North Carolina player?
No. Great guitar player.
Somebody said I jammed on stage with George Lynch. Oh.
That's my buddy Bruce. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know George Lynch was a guitar player. I thought he was a former Carolina
Tar
Heel.
He's Mr. Scary, man. No, there you go. Right. The former power forward. Right.
There are definitely some
Remember
stories
that team,
here.
Eric Montross.
Eric Montross.
Jared, do you have one or no? Really?
I was at a restaurant also where Muhammad Ali came in.
Yeah.
And that was cool. But
I was at a restaurant during Super Bowl week here in Phoenix when Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes was at the next table. I could overhear his whole conversation.
Why do they call it? What's the deal with?
I once went to a baseball camp, a sleepaway baseball camp, when I lived on Long Island at Hofstra University, and it was run by Tommy Lasorda. And he came one day and spoke to all the kids, and it was awesome because I was like 11, 12 years old, and he was just telling dirty stories and cursing. And
one of the most wonderfully vile men in the history of baseball.
That was somebody shared a story, too. Sat in the row in front of Billy Martin and Bob Uecker at a spring training game in the 80s. He said he's never heard so much cursing. It sounded like a Tarantino movie.
Oh, that's good.
How about this one? I worked as a roadie for Paul McCartney in 2004. Met him once when he was coming off stage, and he asked me in his British voice, "You want me to sign your hat?" My knees were shaking, and I couldn't talk. I just nodded yes.
It's amazing. Some people are all about it. Other people just avoid it. I'm not one to bother people in public.
Akeem Olajuwon in an Asian restaurant. My uncle told me he was Bo Outlaw.
No. That is funny. Now, did his uncle not know, or was the uncle goofing on the kid?
I asked, hey, Bo, can I have your autograph?
No.
His agent laughed and walked away. I still hate my uncle to this day.
That's great. But that's great. The other situation you get into is when you mistake him for somebody or you just have no awareness at all. This happened a couple weeks ago. I was walking out of Talking Stick Resort Arena after a Suns game, and Rashawn Holmes was walking out in front of me. And normally they go down to their private, their parking area in the garage. But he had friends with him, and I guess they were going somewhere downtown. So he's walking, and somebody else, a fan, is walking through the garage at the same time and looks at Rashawn Holmes and goes, "Wow, you're tall. You should play basketball." And I just started laughing, thinking, he just did play basketball in a game that you apparently watched.
How about this one? At a wrestling event in 1993, I met Charles Barkley and Ric Flair.
That would be your...
That's a party.
Ideal duo. Yeah.
I was at a New Year's Eve party, a few drinks into it, and Kevin Dillon walked by, and I went, drama!
I'm sure he's never heard that one before.
I felt like such a moron. I'm like, what do they do that for?
Those are good stories. And a lot of people have them, too. Brushes with fame.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Thanks for sharing those. We'll have the latest on the Zion Williamson situation. More thoughts on that coming up next. Bickley Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day. Brought to you by Vital 4 Men. Sometimes you want to hit rewind. Now you can with Vital 4 Men. Find out more at vital4men.com.
How do you feel about Portugal, the man? Not the country, but the man.
But yeah, the group, you mean.
Yeah.
They're good.
Catchy stuff, right?
Yeah, catchy stuff, yeah.
This is Live in the Moment, and this was sparked by a discussion that we had earlier today.
They get my daughter's endorsement.
On the Zion Williamson front. This public outcry about protecting your future and this and that, and I'm not pinning this on Zion Williamson, but it caused me to get to the conclusion, when as a society do we stop living in the moment? And everything's about protecting what you could have
protecting
down the road.
Protecting the brand. Yeah, somebody made the point that even though what happened with Zion Williamson may not turn out well, and who knows what's going to happen from this point forward, and it might sort of create this wave of players who don't want any part of NCAA basketball, there's a point to be made that NCAA basketball has worked very well for Zion Williamson.
Yes.
He's had some moments at Duke that have elevated his image, made him a household name to the point where people wouldn't know otherwise. Now, a lot of people saw the viral stuff going into this year, the workout dunks and that stuff.
But he's been able to reach the casual fan this
year. Yes, he has.
Where the viral stuff is for basketball freaks and junkies. I totally agree with that. And it might continue to pay off. I mean, his level of stature now, let's just say, we'll cross our fingers, we'll hope this is a minor injury for Zion Williamson. He does come back and play, and I know Joe Lenardi's hoping for it too.
Yeah.
But if he accomplishes some of those things on a bigger national scale during the NCAA tournament, the legend of Zion Williamson could potentially be off the charts come June.
I agree with that. And the legend went so far as to get to Carlos Boozer, who tweeted, "Get well soon at Zion NPS." Didn't realize he was tweeting the Zion National Park. So the Zion National Park Service responded, "Thanks! In anticipation of heavy snow, several roads at Zion NPS have closed. Be careful out there."
That's tremendous.
That is outstanding. Great. That is outstanding.
I have a new favorite celebrity encounter story that I tweeted during the commercial here.
Okay.
In the early 2000s, me and my brother met David Spade at a batting cage in Scottsdale, where he missed every pitch that he swung at. He turned to us and said, "I guess I need to stretch more."
I know it's coming, so just get it out of the way, Jarrett. I know it's coming. No? No.
What, the Andy Greenberg?
No, insert your own Andy Greenberg joke here.
Of course. Or ASU alum joke.
Yeah, ASU doesn't have a very good baseball history.
Oh, yeah.
They're off to a good start. 4-0. See what they did to Notre Dame over the weekend? They crushed them.
Can I lie and say yes?
Crushed them. Like grape.
Like grape. Okay.
We mentioned the LeBron James possibility. Does he elevate the Lakers to the playoffs? Does he kind of set the tone that I'm going to take it easy down the stretch because we're not winning the championship anyway?
Yeah.
Well, LeBron James himself has answered the question about his intensity level.
My level of intensity has to be, unfortunately for me, because I don't like to do it at such an early time. I'm a little bit different. But it's been activated, so look forward to seeing what we can do.
Uh-oh. It's been activated. Is that an admission that LeBron James has been loafing through the first 60 games of the season?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm engaged now. It's all good.
This is my message to the rest of the league. Look out.
Look out, I'm
now
coming.
Now I'm trying. Is it going to matter?
Well, we've seen him do it, and he is pretty formidable when he flicks that switch.
Not with this group of Lakers.
No, I agree.
No, not with this group of Lakers.
Saints, by the way, I don't know if you saw this. The Saints are cutting Kurt Coleman, a really good safety. Cardinals are claiming everybody who gets cut. They don't need a safety, though.
The secondary is one thing that's actually...
It's one thing that they're in good shape with right now.
Yeah, I mean, if they pick up a safety, that's one less quarterback that they can draft.
After you said you were coming around to my side.
I'm feeding into this whole Bickley idea. Like, I'm not totally against
it. No, I'm glad.
I'm trying to open my mind a little bit more.
One more real quick. In 92 or 93, I ran into Dan Marley at a Rattlers game by a pretzel stand. He was arguing with his girlfriend, then he turned to me and said, "Stay single."
You know what? Dan Marley showed up a lot from people's
lots
answers.
Of ones we couldn't.
There was one from, I think it was You So Stupid, who tweets us all the time, who said he was at a private country club warming up for a round of golf at the driving range. Dan Marley sets up in the bay next to him. He gets so nervous, he starts shanking all the shots. He said he was so embarrassed, he picked up his clubs and went home and didn't even play the round of golf.
That's good.
What do you think of rugby as a sport?
I like it.
It's an amazingly physical sport, and anytime I watch it, I'm amazed that anybody walks away from a rugby game without a debilitating injury.
Uh-huh.
There is a rugby story that's out there. South African rugby player Nico Lee was caught doing something truly disgusting to an opponent during a match.
All right.
Apparently, there was a struggle for the ball. Several scrum. Bodies on the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was officially a rugby scrum.
Okay.
But it could be described as a scrum in other areas.
Yeah.
So what this Nico Lee guy does is he puts his index finger on one of his nostrils and does a farmer's blow right on the face of one of his opponents, Colby Fayenga. Well, Nico Lee was caught. He was suspended for 13 weeks.
13 weeks?
And forced to issue an apology, which sounded like this.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'd just like to start by apologizing to the Cheetah Rugby, my teammates, the supporters, and the Guinness Pro 14, and everyone that believed in me for my actions. That's not the type of person nor player I am, and it was an act of stupidity. So I'd just like to say sorry and... I'll apologize for everything.
All right, another apology out there where he didn't apologize to the person he wronged. He didn't apologize to snot-faced Fayenga. He apologized to the fans and the supporters. What about the guy you blew?
Yeah. What about the guy that you
blew your mucus on?
The guy you just scarred forever.
Disgusting.
That is gross. That's almost like blowing your nose into a piece of paper.
I have
a commercial break.
I have another disgusting story. Do you want to hear this one?
Yeah, please.
You finished, I'm not trying to poke at you, but you finished in last place in the Arizona Sports Fantasy Football League, correct?
One of the worst fantasy football teams in history.
Unlike some leagues, you were not forced to pay some terrible penalty.
Correct.
Our league operates, the guys, I guess Gambo won the free dinner, correct? He'll tell you about it next. So you weren't forced to do anything. There was a guy... by the name of Steven Shrout, Fantasy League in Dallas. He finished in last place. He joined at the last minute. He didn't do any prep. He didn't know what he was doing. He was finished in last place. The punishment for last place finisher, he had to cover himself in peanut butter and walk through a dog park. According to WFAA.com, Shrout joined the Fantasy League for the first time with his high school buddies. He blamed drafting Le'Veon Bell for his last place finish. Faced with the choice of paying $250 to get out of the punishment or going to the dog park covered in peanut butter, he chose the latter. And apparently the dogs freaked out on him.
That's unreal. I'd like to see video of that, wouldn't you?
No, I actually would not. Thanks to Joe Lenardi, Tori Lovello, Steven Souza Jr. Thanks to you for listening. We appreciate it. Burns and Gambo up next. Have a great day, everybody.